All right, we are launching a new series of sermons today on rebuilding the family house. I'm going to go first. I believe Pastor Kelly is second, then Pastor Toby, and then I kind of wrap up. We are going to look at the closet in order to get rid of the junk. We're going to look at the kitchen in order to discover how to work together. We're going to look at the dining room in order to discover ways of being kind. And we are going to look at the bedroom in order to talk about sex. But the first room we are going to look at is the closet. The closet is the place we place other things in so that others don't see them at the moment. Now, let's have a moment of truth here. How many of you have closets in your home where everything is neat and hung up and in its place, and if somebody opens the door, you just smile? Couple of y'all. How many of you have closets that are in semi-neat order? They're not perfect, but you're not too embarrassed by them. Okay, and how many of you have closets where stuff is just thrown in, and when you open that door, you shut it back real quick before it all falls down on top of you? Amen, amen, amen. Now, not all our closets are like that, only some of them. Pastor Toby jumping up like she did. Now, as a kid, closets were always a mystery to me. And in Georgia, our closets, they never had lights in them. And I always thought that they were much larger than they actually were. And I also thought that way back there in that deep back section, there was a monster just waiting to get out. I was actually afraid to go into the closet in my mother's and my grandmother's room when I lived in Georgia. Now, in the boys' bedroom, we didn't have a closet, so there was no problem. And the only other closets in the house was the bathroom closet with all the towels. You could see everything. And then there was the hall closet. You never knew what was in that hall closet. Every now and then I'd get brave and I'd go in there and I'd dig stuff out and I would find things that we thought had been lost a long time ago. I would have dreams about closets. I would go into the closet and I would have a dream that I pushed a button or something and this whole new house in our closet. And I would be asking, how come we never knew about this? How come we never knew about this? Now, closets are interesting. Sometimes they are places where we hide things we don't want others to see. Sometimes we stash things in a closet that we want to bring out later when it's safe to blend it back in. I once stole a baseball glove at school, but I had to hide it in the closet until I could bring it out in the open without arousing too much suspicion. I know I ain't the only one that done did that. Some of y'all done bought dresses and suits and hung them up in the closet so that when your spouse said, where this come? It's been in the closet for weeks. Yes, there's one of them right there. Sometimes we make our homes closets in which we keep things hidden from those on the outside. We place in them family secrets that can be very painful if they are brought to light. And Jesus made an interesting statement that shows us what we all take into our homes. There are a group of people who were so concerned about eating the right food in order to be clean. And Jesus was trying to get them to see, you know, it's not what's on the outside that's messing you up. It's what's on the inside that is causing the real problem. He said in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, he went on, what comes out of you is what defiles you. For from within, out of your hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile you. Now, I want you to know that these things are in your home. and they are in my home. Why? Because we are in our homes. Amen? Now, sometimes we like to think that some people are really bad or really messed up people, and that's why certain things happened in their families. No, that family had the same thing in its closets as we do, but they failed to realize that some things need to be locked up in the closet and never brought out. Now, what are some secrets we carry in our families that we look really good to others, but if you followed us home, what would come out of the closet? Now, some of us have terrible tempers at home that we go and take out of the closet. Some of us have terrible spending habits. We keep spending more than we're getting, than we have, and we're getting deeper and deeper in debt, and it's hurting our families. But we keep pulling spending out of the closet. Some of us have adopted lying and deceitful ways at home, and it's destroying the trust others have in us, but we keep pulling them out of the closet. Some of us have crossed sexual boundaries with other family members that should have never been crossed, but we keep pulling them out of the closet. Some of us are stealing from other family members and deliberately putting suspicion on others, thereby causing distrust in the home, and we keep pulling it out of the closet. What we don't realize is that this action is going to be affecting how we are treated by others for many, many years to come. Now, each of us needs to be aware of the potential for evil in each of us and realize even an innocent behavior can turn into a monster. We need to know ourselves better, and we need to know what closets, not only do we have to close it, sometimes we have to lock it and throw away the key or give it to somebody else to make sure we don't use it. Now, all of us here are facing some temptation to let something out of the closet. We all have an appetite growing inside of us to get this thing. It may be more of this, or some of that, or just to try this out. It may be for a person, it could be to go to a place, or it could be just to look at something, or just to see what it's like. There's something hiding in the closet that wants to come out, but we need to keep it locked up. Now, the lie it's telling us is this: you can handle that. It is only going to be this one time. And once you do it and get it out of your system, it'll be over with. That's not true. If you have a problem with spending, how many of you know buying one more item will not solve the problem? All you did was move the temptation to the next time. If you have a problem with getting stuff you can't afford, if you get it, you're still going to be tempted the next time to get something you can't afford. If you have a problem with lust, giving in to the lust, you will not get up and say, man, I don't have to deal with that no more. If you really want to kiss a person, you should not kiss. Now, do you think that after that kiss is over, it will end your desire to ever kiss that person again? Of course not. Your appetite will insist on one more kiss, but this time with music in the background. The only thing that giving into temptation does is it makes it easier for us to give into that same temptation the next time. Once you feed an appetite, it demands more to be satisfied. I mean, you know, if you anything like me, when I go on a diet, once I break that diet for the first time, it is so easy to get that next piece of cake and say, starting next week, I'm starting over on this thing all over again. Now, in our scripture passage, we saw a family that had been chosen by God to be a blessing to the world. And God was going to use that family to send Jesus Christ ultimately into the world. Now, the parents were Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah had a set of twin boys. Their names, Esau was firstborn, and Jacob was the second. Now, they were twins, so they weren't that much older apart. Because when Esau came out, Jacob had grabbed onto his heel, and he was right there after him. Okay, now, as the boys grew, Esau was the athletic hunter type of guy. Jacob was the more sensitive, help out at home kind of guy. And Isaac, their father, he loved to eat wild animals. So Esau the hunter became his favorite son. And Jacob enjoyed staying around the house, pleasing his mom. And he became her favorite son. Nothing was wrong with what either one of them was doing. Now, it is only natural to like one child more than another because of his or her personality. I don't care what you say, a loving child is easier to love than a hard-headed one is. So when you are saying, yeah, my mama and my daddy treat so-and-so better, you need to ask, what is your behavior like? Now, the goal is to love our children fairly and to treat them fairly, not necessarily treat them equal. You see, one child deserves a reward for getting a B. Another child deserves a reward only for getting an A. Why? Because they are gifted different intellectually. So if you hold them both to the same standard, you're not being fair. Now, what is wrong is to treat a child unfairly and to give another a clear advantage in favoritism. Rebecca and Jacob treated their sons unfairly, and it started a lot of envy, rivalry, and strife in the home. It got to the point where Rebecca wanted the best for Jacob, even if it meant robbing from Esau, and Isaac wanted the best for Esau, even if it meant leaving Jacob out. This was the thing they were hiding in their closet, was favoritism. And all this stuff started coming out in different ways. Well, with time, they are all getting older and growing up, Isaac eventually loses his eyesight. He becomes blind. And one day, he wanted a real good cooked meal from some wild game. And he calls Esau, his favorite, and he says, son, if you go get me some wild game, kill that joker, and cook it just like I like it, I'm going to give you a full blessing. Now, part of him wanting to give the blessing to Esau was because Esau was the firstborn, and he was his favorite. The other part might have been he just was hungry that day and he really wanted to get something to eat. But there's a problem. The problem is that Isaac knew before the boys were born that God had prophesied here is what their future is going to be like. Rebecca was having a very difficult pregnancy. And she was just in constant turmoil, and she cried out to the Lord, and she says, Lord, why is this happening to me? And God says, it's because there are two children inside of you, And there are two nations that will be separate from each other inside of you. And the younger one will rule over the older one. And the younger one's people will be stronger than the older one's people. So Jacob knew that, Isaac knew that Jacob was going to be the one that was supposed to be in charge. But because Esau was his favorite, he was going to undo God's plan for Esau's life in order to do his will instead of God's will. Because he was his favorite, Isaac was overlooking poor choices that Esau kept making with his life. How many of our families are hurting because we let our favorite child get away with all kinds of things? Now, as parents, we can quickly say, well, I ain't got no favorites among my children. Go out the room and ask the kids, who's the favorite? We as kids know. I knew I wasn't a favorite. We all knew my brother Johnny was the favorite. And we used it to our advantage. Here come the ice cream truck. Johnny, go in there and ask them for some ice cream. They knew not to send me. So we would send him in. And 9 times out of 10, we got the ice cream. Now, Esau was only too happy to hear his father's compromise of what God had said to him about him and his brother. Only problem is, while they are conniving here in the front room, Rebecca is over here behind the curtain listening to what it is they are saying. And Rebecca says, not over my dead body will they do this. Now, what she decides to do is to come up with a scheme of her own. She intends to kill a goat and cook the meal just like her husband like it, and send in Jacob to get the blessing. Jacob is afraid of his mother's plan. Why? Because he is afraid of what his father is going to do to him if his father knows he is lying. Jacob was no dummy. Jacob said, look, I got smooth, soft skin. My brother is rough and hairy. Was hairy from the day he was born. Jacob's mother says, no problem, honey. She gets some goat skin with the hair, puts it behind his neck, puts it on his hands. He says, yeah, but Mom, I like to take a bath. Esau doesn't. When you smell Esau's clothes, you know it's Esau. No problem. I'll go get one of the outfits he took off yesterday and put it on you. He puts on that. He got the food. He goes in to his father and he says to his father, he says, Father, here I am. I'm Esau. Did just like you told me. Please set up and give me your blessing. But Isaac is thinking, this boy got this meal too quickly. So he told him, he says, how did you pull this thing off so quickly to get the food? And Jacob lies again. He says, the Lord your God helped me and gave me quick success. And Isaac said, you know what? You sound like Jacob. So come close and let me touch you. And so he comes closer and he grabs his hand and he feels this rough skin and this hair and he puts his hand behind his neck and he feels this rough skin and he says, man, he says, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He said, are you really my son, Esau? Jacob lied again. I promise it's me. How many of your kids, they just know you believe what they, I promise, just lied through their teeth. I promise it's me. Isaac said, bring me over the food so that I can get a little kiss of you. And when Jacob brought him over the food, and he grabbed him and put his head into his coat, you are definitely Esau. Nobody else smelled like that. Isaac, thinking it's Esau, then gives Jacob his blessing for his future, in which again is contrary to what he knew God had said. He, among other things, after telling him you're going to have all this wealth and everything, and then he says, be Lord over your brother, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. The exact opposite of what God had said. Well, Jacob was no fool. Soon as he got that blessing, he headed out of that tent like nobody's business. Few minutes later, in comes Esau, ready to be blessed by his father. When he said, Father, here I am with the food, just like you like it. Sit up and bless me. Isaac says, who are you? When he said, I am Esau, your firstborn son, the scripture says Isaac started shaking violently. He realized that Jacob had tricked him out of the blessing he wanted to give to Esau. And Esau begged him. He said, oh, Father, please give me a blessing. Please give me one. But Isaac only had one to give. And he kept crying. Finally, Isaac said, well, the only thing I can do for you is this. One day you will get tired of your brother and you will throw his yoke off of your neck. Now, Esau was so angry with his brother Jacob, he thought in the back of his mind, my father don't have much more time to live. And the moment he dies, I will kill my brother for what he has done for me. And Esau didn't let the other people know that's what he was planning. Word got back to Rebekah what was on his mind. Now, think about this little scheme. What do you think this did to Esau's relationship to his mother Rebekah, which was already strained? What did it do to Isaac's relationship to Jacob, which was already strained? What did it do to Rebekah and Isaac's relationship to each other? How many of you know this is not what Rebekah and Isaac was planning for when they put their little scheme into action, but that family turmoil and anguish is what they got? Neither one of these schemes should have come out of the closet. Now, Rebekah is so afraid that Esau is going to kill her brother, kill his brother the day his father dies, that she wants to send him away so that Esau will have time to cool down and let his anger subside. Esau had married two women from around the culture they were in, and the scripture says they about drove Isaac and Rebekah crazy. So Rebekah said, Jacob cannot have a wife from these people. Send him back to where my family is and let him get a wife from there. So Isaac listened to her. He sent Jacob away with a blessing to get a wife from Rebekah's side of the family. Now, little did Rebekah know that she was sending Jacob away for 30 years. It also appears that even though Isaac was older than she was, she died before Jacob ever got back home. She never saw her son again that she loved dearly. Do you think she might have acted differently if she had known this was going to be the result? You see, we don't know what the consequences will be when we let things out of closets that should have never come out in the first place. Rebecca never intended to destroy her family or break up her home. She simply gave in to a temptation to try to help her son get what she thought he rightfully deserved. But God does not always need our schemes and our deception to bring about his plans. I'm not sure what is in our closets today, but I do know there are some monsters that are inside that are wanting to come out to devour us. And we need to ask the question, what is going to happen when everybody finds out what I did? Satan is thinking, you can't get caught. But how many of you know God may already be exposing you in a way that you could not imagine? You think they don't know you stealing money on your job? They just waiting to get five different episodes of you on that camera that you're not looking at. We need to ask the question, what will happen if things do not go the way I plan? You see, we can control whether or not we choose to sin, but as I said before, nobody gets to control the consequences. We all have some regret of opening a closet door and letting something out that we wished had never seen the light of day. Started out as something small, became an appetite that would not be satisfied. We need to ask the question, who am I asking to pay for the price of my choice to sin? Because sin never stops the consequences on just the person sinning. We ask a whole lot of people to pay for the opportunity for us to have a good time. Wouldn't it be good if we went and asked them in advance if they were willing to pay it instead of forcing them to pay it? God wants to be in control of our closets. Now, the first time we saw Rebecca in the Bible, she was a model for us all to follow. And she didn't turn away all at once. It was a compromise here and a compromise there. But we shouldn't define her by this final act of deceit, because no doubt she repented during that long period of loneliness. And God forgave her when she repented, just as God forgives us. It is unfortunate that we try to define a person by something they did 2 years, 4 years, 20 years ago. We just won't let it go. But if God can change us, why do we think God can't change somebody else? Have you ever noticed how it's amazing how much worse the sins of others seem? Man, I just can't believe they did that. Even though we have had the thought and the temptation of doing it ourselves, but by the grace of God, we didn't do it. God has the ability to change people. We need to accept that changes when they occur. Now, Jacob didn't get off scot-free. He reaped what he sowed in deceiving his father. His own father-in-law, Jacob, wanted to marry Rachel. His father says, no problem. Work for me for 7 years, she's yours. He works for her for 7 years. Oh, I can't wait six. Oh, I can't wait five. Oh, I can't wait. They go through the wedding ceremony. They go through. They didn't have no lights back then. So that night, the honeymoon night, oh, what a night. Until morning came, he woke up, and it wasn't Rachel he was in the bed with. It was Leah. And his father says, oh, don't you know in our country, you can't give away the younger daughter before you give away the older daughter. How come you didn't tell me this on that end of the 7 years? 10 times he got cheated by his father-in-law. Sometimes we go through some rough times because we reaping what we sowed, even though we done forgot we sowed it. You know, in this family, the one who turns out to be the most forgiving of all is Esau. And Esau is the one who lost the most. But a lot of times, Esau is the one with the negative connotation. But he was the most forgiving. Now, if God could change the way Esau felt about Jacob, surely in Christ, God can help us to change the way we feel about others in our families for the wrong they have done to us. God is calling us to a place of confessing what we have let out of the closets of our homes and repenting of it. God wants us to allow Jesus to come into our closets so that we can get the junk out that's destroying our homes. For it said there in 1 John today, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and the truth is not in us. You know, the amazing thing about this family is that even with all its problems, God never gave up on this family. All the kings of Judah and Israel, including the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself, traced their lineage back through Isaac and Rebekah. I don't care how bad our families may seem today, God has not given up on our families. As we seek forgiveness for our wrong, let us extend forgiveness to those who have hurt us. How many of you know it's time to get the junk out of our closets? Amen.